Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The home of jump racing. This is where the magic happens. Feel like a Cheltenham favourite with Paddy Power.
Hello everyone, welcome to the first show in the new series of Road to Cheltenham. This is the racing TV programme that looks carefully at the jump racing season. We put it under the microscope and forensically examine what's gone before in an attempt to predict what might happen in the future. In that endeavour, of course, I am joined by Professor Ruby Walsh. Have you got your microscope with you, or is it still circling baggage reclaim?
Professors don't attempt. They actually get things correctly, whereas we do attempt and get most things wrong. So, change of title, perhaps. Bluffer?
I think that's a bit harsh.
We'll see.
But you can judge us during the course of the season on whether it is. Now, Ruby said to me as we're putting together this show, you do know it's only 1 hour, didn't you? Because there's a lot to get through.
Well, if we get through everything you have put into the running order, so from next week on, Ben, Sarah and all the other producers are taking back over that role. They're taking it off you because there's no way we can cover everything that you have put in your column, which you can read, the Road to Cheltenham column that Lydia writes if you have a spare 3 hours.
At a conservative estimate. So you're saying you're going to be a backseat driver, essentially?
Basically.
Okay. All right, well, what I was saying was let's get on with it because we've got much to get through and not much time. We're going to start with a division that was fantastic last season and promises to be at least as good, if not better, this season, and that is the Staying Chasers. Ruby, you're going to give us sort of potted history of the key moments from last season, and that gives us an idea of where things stand coming into this season.
Yeah, very potted. Look, I'm going to start at the very end, well, almost the end, which is the Cheltenham Gold Cup, which ended up very unusually for a Gold Cup, but not unusually, but rarely happens, with the slowly run Gold Cup, which really suited the fastest horse in the race, which is a Plutard. They're jumping the fourth last, other than Tornado Flyer. Everything is still in there. Even I ride in the white with the red stars is even hanging in. This was a steadily run race, and then they committed down the hill. Manila Indo goes on, but look at that shot. There's so many of them travelling well. It reminds me of the first one, the Cotto one, when they were all still in the picture. And it played into a Plutard's hands. Now, Rachel Blackmore had learnt a lot from riding them. People say last year's Gold Cup, I would say from Leopardstown at Christmas, as to how to deliver, how to ride them correctly. And then the fastest horse sprints away and wins at the end. So, look, I think it'll be a different Gold Cup this year. If they get there, Hoy Señor, L'Empresa, Gallop and the Champ, there's more pace coming into potentially coming to this year's Gold Cup.
I tend to agree with that. How about the Ryanair chase? That was a reprise of the previous year with Alaho once again dominating brilliantly.
Yeah, and providing the four legs stay under him and he stays in the same health, what you're going to see last year, the year before, will be the same again next year. He just jumps out and goes, and it's a case of follow me if you can, and if you don't, you won't catch up. And that's basically what he does. He clambered through the last, but Janadil, who hadn't taken part, runs on to pick up second place, which is good race riding, whereas Alaho just galloped the rest of them into the ground, and that's what he does.
The Irish Gold Cup was a similar story to the Gold Cup in some ways, in that it was speed favouring.
It was speed favouring, and a brilliant jump at the third last from Conflated under Davy Russell got him on the front, and he gets across in front of Frodon, pings the second last, and Davy kicks. And this race is over off the home turn. They hadn't gone quick. Now, Leopardstown is a stiff track. We saw that in the Savills. But when they go steady, you get it easy in front. David Rustin was just gone. Manila Indo couldn't peg him back. Neither could Janadil in third. It was a really, really good ride. He had a really good comeback running down Royal, which we'll see in a minute. He could be an improving horse, Conflated, and a bit of a dark one, but that was a really good ride.
And his stable companion Galvin also ran at Down Royal in that race we'll review shortly. But last season he won the Savills Chase over Christmas as well.
Yeah, I think he was kind of handed it, and it revolves around that Plutar, who had dropped in Stone last, but when they jumped the last ditch, Rachel Blackmore moves up on the outside of Mellon, heading across to the second last fence, jumps this, and then she commits him forward. I think a Plutar ran his race from three out to the last fence in the Savile Chase, and that turned it into a slog. Now, she corrected that, giving him a brilliant ride in the Gold Cup. I think Davy Russell's ride in Conflated was better than the one in Galvin. This was just don't give up. He didn't give up and he gets Galvin back up. His other ride was tactically brilliant. Mm-hmm. This is just strength and endeavour, and it was great to watch too.
It was. And then in the King George, also over Christmas, we had a race that was run hard in the early stages.
It was, and it's a race that completely went back to front. Manila Indon, Frodon at the front. The last two, Tornado Flyer and St. Calvados, are ultimately the two that end up in the shake-up. Now, Danny Mullins let Gavin Sheehan buy him, go to the fourth last and St. Calvados, who takes on Clan Royale, not Clan Desova, sorry, and Tornado Flyer watches, and then Danny pounces down the straight, and Tornado Flyer, Asterion Falange, departs at the last. Clan Desova is treading water, but look at the speed they're going for at King George. I know it was slow ground, but King George horses don't come down the straight that slow.
And Tornado Flyer coming through to win by a wide margin ahead of Clan Desova. OK, so at the start of this season, from what we've seen from last season, who for you are still the key players, the ones that are setting the standard that the graduating novices and other horses coming back are trying to attain?
Well, La Plutar sets the standard in the staying division. Alaho sets it at the intermediate division of 2.5. And when you drop back down, it's probably Enrigamine.
Yeah. Possibly, but we'll get onto the 2 mile chasers later on in the season. It's good to have been looking over these staying chases because we are joined now by a guest. It's one of the changes in this series of Road to Cheltenham. We hope to be more often joined by somebody who is going well at the time. And who else could that be at the moment than the 13 times champion trainer who last month enjoyed his 3,500th winner. Since then, he's only powered further clear of that and he's currently operating on a 46% strike rate. Paul, how are you? I'm guessing you're well.
Yeah, I'm in good form, thank you. Yeah, good order.
And Ruby, are you looking forward to discussing Paul's horses?
I am, yeah. I mean, look, they're, as they always are, this time of year, they're absolutely bombing. Another big weekend coming up at Cheltenham. But, you know, when he plots horses out, they don't tend to get beaten too often. And I must say, Frodon was brilliant last Saturday.
He really was. But Paul, we're going to start first and Ruby is going to analyse Brave Man's Game in the Charlie Hall. Let's get your take on Brave Man's Game before we hear from Paul.
Yeah, I thought it was a good performance. I mean, he's a high-class horse that Paul has always held in really high regard. Obviously, Weatherby suited him. He travelled really well. Ahoy Senor was favourite, I think, on the day. He set out down the inside, but he's by Dylan Thomas, and you can see that in him early in the race. He was over-enthusiastic. He kept wanting to go faster. But Brave Man's Game on the outside in the white, look how easily he's able to go at the speed. Ahoy Senor's running away, but Brave Man's Game, who's a brilliant jumper, has a really high cruising speed. Last ditch, even when Ahoy Senor gets in, Brave Man's Game jumps up on him. Now, Harry Cobden was incredibly confident here because when Derek Fox wants a breeder there, Harry got up, took him on down the back. They're obviously very confident how fit he was. But that's the fifth last they turn in. But even here, if you watch Brave Man's Game to El Dorado Allen from here home and watch the distance he puts between the two of them, it never ever extends. Brave Man's Game is a brilliant jumper and a very fast horse. Ahoy Senor blew out. But I found it interesting reading and listening to Paul was where he could be tempted to drop this fella back in trip. To me, he looks like he could easily go back in trip. Paul, I know you're going to go to the King George, but ultimately, could you come down and trip with him? Because he's not short of gears.
No, he's definitely not short of gears. And with his jumping so assured over a shorter trip, you could probably make more use of him. And, you know, he'd stay very strongly over 2.5 or 2.6. It wouldn't be an issue at all with him.
So does that mean you're beyond the King George, Paul, that your mind is open about how the rest of the season might pan out?
Yeah, it is a bit, really. I mean, he doesn't strike me as being, as it were, like Denman, who's a real out-and-out strong stayer that's going to get 3.25 in a fast-run race at Cheltenham. But, you know, things can change. I mean, Harry says that the minute he hits the front, like at Weatherby the other day, he had tons in the tank. The minute he hits the front, he's very easy in front, pulls himself up, really. So you just wouldn't know the extent of his capability, really. But, you know, as Ruby said, he's got plenty of pace. So, we haven't really made up our mind what is going to be his optimum trip. I mean, Kempton 3 miles is obviously made for him. And horses that win King George's do win Gold Cups. So, you know, we'll have to keep our options open.
How do you feel about running against Alaho and the way the race is likely to develop with him being in the race?
You can't be afraid of any horse, can you? I think Kempton suits us very well. We're not short of speed. It'll be a very good race, obviously, and there's others as well that are good horses. Very interesting. I do think Braidman's game's improved physically this year. We've learned a lot about him last year, how to get him physically 100% and the way he needs riding, and I think it's a lot more to come from him.
Does he need a flat track, Paul?
Look, he's run well at Cheltenham, to be honest with you. He just met some very good horses when he was a baby, really. I'm not totally convinced about that. You could have said years ago with Cordo Star he's better on a flat track because he won so many times at Kempton and Haydock, but he could on his day go well at Cheltenham. I think if they're good enough, they'll win on any track when things are right for them.
OK, well, let's move on and have a look at another horse that Paul's sending to the King George Horse.
I agree with that sentiment, though. When they're good enough, the tracks don't really tend to matter.
They just seem to win. Yeah, but Cordo Star, I mean, that's an elevated level of...
Lots of horses like that. We make excuses for horses that handling tracks. When they're good enough, they can get away with most things. But Frodon was last weekend given a chance by the handicapper, dropped to 158, but crucially he was able to get into a position that suits him. Bryony lined him up wide, which she often does when she's riding Frodon, but when they went the full circuit of Wincanton, she was able to get in front on him. That suited him. Good jump at the third last in the second circuit. They faced into the back straight and Rillo had departed, but watch how this race is now blown apart. Frodon, because he's capable of running at a higher level, doesn't need to slow down in the middle of a race. That doesn't really give handicappers too much of a chance behind them. They get strung out behind them. Second horse makes a mistake at the last, but he was race fit. Frodon, first run of the year, has gone and delivered. But Paul, it's an awful question to ask, but how do you plot the rest of Frodon's season? Because he's back up those 6 pounds. What do you do now?
Exactly. It's going to be difficult, isn't it? Look, he's in the Betfair Chase next weekend, and if that cut up or something happened to some of the leading players, with only six entered, there's probably only going to be three or four runners. We might look at that. But I'd say that's unlikely if the main horse is run. He'll go back for the King George, and I think this year we might be brave enough to let him run in the Gold Cup. You know, there's nothing else much he can run in, really. I do think he's probably better this year. He was struggling with his breathing last year after Down Raw, which we sorted in the summer, and that sort of seems to help him just a little bit. But like the other day, he was good and fit, and the rest of the season is going to be tough.
When he won the King George a couple of seasons ago, he sort of set a stop-start pace. Again, we're not really anticipating that will be the case at Kempton this time around. So how do you approach that? What are you thinking tactics-wise?
Well, I said to Bryony on Saturday, you know, they're going to take you on. Don't get in a mix, fight early on. Just if it takes a circuit to get the front, which is what she did, so be it. Don't cut your throat over the first three or four. And I think you can ride him with a little more restraint. And obviously there was tactics in the race last year that backfired on a lot of people. Mm. And if someone wants to take him on and go a million now, we'll just take our time with him and let him jump into the race in his own rhythm. And then can let him stride on down the back as we did at Wincanton, as opposed to last year, was just the whole thing just didn't work out right. So you just got to be clever on him and just not cut. I mean, with any stayer, if you go too fast in the first mile of the race, they're not going to get home. And basically, the first mile of last year's race, it went too fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Ruby's now going to have a look at another King George contender, this one trained in Ireland by Henry de Bromhead. It's Envoi Allen, who bounced back at Down Royal at the weekend.
Yeah, and I most certainly didn't see this happening. Kemboy had a couple of runs under his belt, conflated outside him. Galvin, who'd won in Punchestown, Envoi Allen is down the inner. Beacon Edge at the back, he made a mistake at the second and probably couldn't afford at this level to make any mistakes. Conflated, reached at the last first time round. Kemboy jams on here and puts Envoi Allen off right behind him. Then Envoi Allen pops the ditch, which is the next fence. But this race developed from there on. I must say, as I watched it, I was drawn to Envoi Allen, who was travelling so well, but I was thinking, he's going to fall in the hole. Now, soon, sooner. I thought Conflated looked really big in the parade ring, but I was really taken with how Envoi Allen got down and battled here. Kemboy, probably not the horse he once was, but he was race fit. He had two runs under his belt. Envoi Allen got to him at the last and kept digging. Galvin was race fit. Conflated, for me, was definitely one to take out of it. But it was some comeback from Envoi Allen. I can see why they're going to Kempton. The pace he has, he'd be able to travel. And he's an intriguing runner in it. That was a really solid start. Fair play to Henry. I thought he was A horse of the past.
I think Solid is fair, but he beat a horse that's older these days in Kenboy.
Yeah, and he's on the way down. The only thing Kenboy had was a couple of runs under his belt. He's not going to improve an inch, whereas you can see both the first and third improving.
OK. We're going to break off from our look at the stayers to analyse this with Ruby. It's his turn to take the floor.
Yeah, and we're going to analyse Rachel Blackmore, actually, on Envoy Allen. This will be the last time I'll be choosing what we analyse. It'll be up to you, the viewers, to decide what needs to be analysed after this week. There will be a Twitter poll from Monday about that. Maybe not Twitter, some other app, but anyway, one of those things. But anyway, Rachel Blackmore on Envoy Allen. And no matter how good you are, you don't always get everything right. Conflate and a white calf, Jack Kennedy drifts in here, and Rachel has to switch. But watch when she switch how Envoy Allen wants to go left. She has to pull him with her right hand, but she never switches her stick. She keeps tapping him on the shoulder all the way to the second last fence. Now, the second last fence in Down Royal is ever so slightly on an angle. As they land, you'll see Conflated in the middle. He's landing straight. Kenboy on the inside. Paul Townend's already turning him because that's the angle you're going, but Envoy Allen is actually going left. Now, when he lands steeply, Rachel slips her reins, but she realises her whip's in her wrong hand, and now she goes grabbing for her whip and never gets the rein back. She eventually gets it over into her right hand, and now they're coming to the last, she has to just chuck it at him. But he's such a good jumper, she has the confidence in him to ride him all the way down. Even though if you're the best in the business, like she is right now, you can still make mistakes. And there, she should have had that in her left hand, going to the second last fence, and this horse could have even been more impressive than he was.
So he could have won easier apart from that, you reckon?
I think he could have, yeah.
OK. Well, what did you think of Envoy Allen?
Yeah, he won very nicely. I think Garvin completely underperformed, which made the race a little bit different, because on all-known form, you'd have thought Garvin would have won. And if you take Kenboy as a marker, it'd been an admirable horse, but probably not quite what he was. Mm. It was a good, solid performance, but I'd say if he's going to be winning the King George, he'll need to improve again.
Race of two halves for Gordon Elliott, Ruby, in that I think lots of it of promise from Conflated, as you said. But Galvin, they were talking about that being his Gold Cup going into that race.
They were, but the other side of the coin is that Galvin catched him on the hop a bit last year. They were talking about him being a Grand National horse. He outbattled the Plutard at Leopardstown and put himself in that picture. I just wonder, will they go back to where they originally were going with Galvin, the Grand National, and could that ultimately be his aim?
OK. Just a reminder then that in future, Analyse This will be chosen by you every Monday on our social media channels. We'll be putting up four races for you to choose from, and whichever one is the most popular, Ruby will then analyse that ride. So that's how we're going to roll from here on in. Right, back to the Staying Chasers, and let's start with the Old Rowan Chase. I say Staying Chasers, intermediate to Staying. Hitman might be stepping up in Trip to 3 miles, according to what Paul has been saying lately. Let's talk about what he achieved here, starting with Miller's Bank at the first.
Not the first time Miller's Bank is unseated, and he bounced back in Carlisle a couple of days later. Race run at a good gallop. It's probably relative to this weekend, though. The horse in front is Captain Tomcat. He's entered at Cheltenham. That mistake there won't have helped him. You saw Galaw making a mistake there. He's also in this weekend. So both of these horses will have improved for it. But Hitman was top weight, travelled super every step of the way. Riders on the Storm looked to bounce back to somewhere near his best. Hitman, it'll be interesting to see what Paul thinks. He's going to step him up and trip. A lot of weight he gets there. He has to improve. Paul, is he going to improve fitness-wise, or do you think an extra couple of furlongs can get him into the King George picture?
I think both met, Ruby, because we hadn't done anything too much with him before this day. And the week before, I was thinking it was coming a bit soon, and I thought, oh, we'll need to run him somewhere before Ascot or Haydock next weekend. I think if he hadn't jumped into the back of Harry Skelton's horse at the second last and lost two lengths at a vital time, I think he may well have come out on top. Just lost the momentum at the wrong time. What I liked about him was he stayed on strong to the line. He's only 6 years old, and I think going up in Trip is going to bring out plenty of improvement.
So he goes to the King George via another run. You're choosing between Haydock and Ascot?
Yeah, I'll enter him in both next weekend and then see what happens after that and make a final decision near the time. I think Kempton 3 miles will suit him very well. I think he's one of those horses. Look, when Clan does about when it is a six-year-old, Clan was rated 160. This horse is now rated 160. So he puts him in the mix, and I'm convinced, I might be wrong, but I think this year, now he's fully mature and going over a Trip will suit him very well.
It's extraordinary to think he's six still, isn't it?
I know, but you think about it, like Carlos Starr won the All Rhone as a 6-year-old as well, Pop, was he?
Yeah, I think he was, yeah. And he might even been
started.
5.
No, I think he was 6. He started.
Yeah, 6-year-old, he was 6, yeah.
Chase, hadn't he? Yeah, I think he was 6. I think we'd know, yeah. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, he was 6,
exactly,
you're right, because
thinking.
he missed a year, yeah.
Right, okay. You saw Melis Bank, who won Grade 1 at the Aintree Grand National Festival last season, exiting at the first fence there. Let's have a look at a happier performance at Carlisle next time out, Ruby.
Yeah, it was, and he jumped much better. But this race, I think, was more about the novices than it was Miller's Bank. I think there's a couple of horses in there. You had both Ford of Nigel Twist and Davis's and Bear Gills, and I was more taken with their performances, both first time over fences. Miller's Bank, I just think he's a bit like Frodon in that rating that's so hard to win with.
He didn't quite get there, did they? It was a sort of steadily diminishing. It was half length at the line. He didn't quite get there. He was conceding a lot of weight to Beauport, but
he was,
nonetheless.
But he was, but you still have to think that Miller's Bank had so much experience and he couldn't peg Beauport back. I'd be more impressed with the winner, maybe in the runner-up, unfortunately.
OK, let's go back to Ireland for Dan Royal's Event Sec Chase. This is the one that was won by Fury Road. What did you make of his seasonal reappearance, Ruby?
Yeah, he looked $1 million in the paddock. Fighter Alan was disappointing. Delvino on the outside didn't have a hugely high rating, but she travelled really well under Dara O'Keefe. She's only rated 136. Vanilla was coming back off surgery for kissing spines. He jumped a hell of a lot better, but Fury Road, you saw him slipping there at the back of what was the first fence, pings the second last next time round, but when he gets to the front of the last, he's quite slow there, lets Delvino back into it, and he digs in from there home to out-battle Delvino. When I watched it live, and still watching it back, having saw them in the parade ring, Benilier was the one I took out of it, coming across the line in third. He looked really round, and I thought he was the one to take out of that race.
He's going to have to learn, I think, that jumping no longer causes him discomfort, because he was very hesitant last season. A bit less hesitant there.
Definitely less hesitant there, and I think he could be on a mark that might look attractive in a really big handicap somewhere.
The encouraging thing about Fury Road was, I think, that having handed the advantage to Delvino, albeit that she'd been keen, was that he then did battle, because he threw a race away. Wasn't it the Drinmore last season?
Yeah, it was. That was his second run last
year. Pre-cheek pieces.
He's a strong stayer. He'll pay his way, but sticking to Vanilla is the one to take out of that.
Seen anything in those two races, Paul, that bothers you?
To be honest, that's the first time I've seen those races. Obviously, I was too busy, so I haven't really got a view on that now.
Well, I'm glad to educate you sort of with the rest of our viewers. Yeah. Let's have a look at go on, Paul.
I do think the big race was a bit of a disappointment in the fact that Garvin obviously completely underperformed. If he'd run to his best, he might have had a completely different race. So it sort of change things a fraction. So that'll be interesting to see how that develops that race form-wise for the season.
OK, let's take a look at the betting for the Betfair Chase, which is at Haydock on Saturday week. And as Paul's just mentioned, he might be tempted to run Frodon if this cuts up. But at the moment, Ruby, the intention from Henry de Bromhead is to run last year's very impressive winner, Aplutar.
Yeah, and how do you oppose him, really? Look, obviously Dan is making a case for Protector at Royal Pagoy is a really good record at Haydock, but not in this race. I'd say he's unopposable. 1-2 by Saturday fortnight or Saturday week. Could look a good price.
Let's have a look at the King George betting. Alaho's the 5-4 favourite ahead of Brave Man's Game at 2-1. Envoy Allen at 7-1. Lompresse is 12-1. I think Venetia Williams is talking about coming back in the 1965, the Chanel Farmer 1965 chase at Ascot. Galloping de Chaume is coming back in potentially the John Durkin?
Potentially the John Durkin. I'd imagine Tom Tornado Flyer will probably appear there and come back to Kempton, but don't see any value in those prices, Lydia, but you'd love to see the majority of them get there and make a really good race.
It looks like it's going to be a fantastic race. Sadly, one horse we won't be seeing in the race, Paul, is Clan des Oboes, who's something of a standing dish. He's won it twice. He's won 5 Grade 1s. He was second and probably very much not flattered by the beaten margin last time around. But unfortunately, he's in his box resting, isn't he?
Yeah, just a bit of wear and tear, sustained a small injury. He is literally wear and tear for all. I think he's been running since he's 3 years old, never had a problem. We're going to scan him on the 1st of January, that was a plan, and decide whether we come back and aim him for Aintree or we'll leave him till next season. My gut feeling is that'll be the answer, and he'll be, you know, come back next season.
So that's the end of our first look at the staying chasing division. I'm sure there'll be many brilliant races ahead for us to analyse too, but it's now time to look at the 2 mile hurdlers. We're going to start with the elite hurdle. Paul, of course, trained the winner, Nappers Hill, who downed the three-time winner, the veteran, So Royal.
Yeah, and I can imagine the tactics in Ditchie, Clifford and Paul winding and Harry up to rock and roll every step of the way here in Nappers Hill, and that's what he did. But his jumping was electric as well, really quick and slick. I mean, So Royal is a really good jumper of a hurdler, but Darrell Jacobs having to use him just to keep into Nappers Hill. His only resemblance of a mistake was at the last, but it was a good performance, and it was a staying performance.
Yes.
You're looking at it thinking, where do you go? What do you do? Would the international be on your mind, Paul?
Yeah, it is very much on my mind. He's obviously in the fighting fifth. You obviously got to enter him, and there's the option of the Christmas hurdle. But the international would be perfect because it's the stiffest 2 miles there. It's the new course, and we'll get obviously interest in running him on a different track. So, yeah, that's definitely on my mind.
And how about beyond that?
Well, he'll tell us, really. I'm, you know, he's good, just come from a good handicapper, just taking the next step up the ladder. Who knows? I mean, he's won 9 from 12 now. He keeps winning. I like the way that he's started to jump quick and fast, and he stays strong. So, you know, he could just keep improving, and who knows where he'll end up. You know, I'm not going to predict anything, but if he runs in the international, we'll know then where we are. But I'd say handicaps are out for now.
OK, his jumping really has improved this season. Let's talk about another horse who's been busy already. He's run twice. This is Pied Piper, and at his best, he is a very slick jumper.
Yeah, he is. He was good at Cheltenham, but this was a muddling race. You had down the outside Sawbuck, you had Knight Salute coming behind him, and the filly of Joseph's down the inside. Look, he beat Knight Salute, who he'd dead heated with in Cheltenham last year, and got the race in the Sturgeon. Went back to Down Royal. This was no real contest. He sauntered round in front. What did we learn about Pied Piper? Not a whole pile, but his jumping wasn't as good as it has been in the past. He beat David Garrick, who's a rating of 112, I think. He was entitled to win. I don't know, Lydia, the four-year-olds, until you see the best one, and I'm not sure when we're going to see him, probably at Punchestown, Vauban, then we might get a handle on him, but I don't think even Paul with Nappers Hill would be too worried about Pied Piper.
I'm going to take a more positive view of Pied Piper. I don't think he would have liked making the running there. He's got that sort of blend of speed and slickness over his hurdles that, in a normal year for the 2 mile division, you'd be saying, OK, he's going to be better suited by the champion hurdle than he was by the Triumph.
Maybe he will.
You're not having it any price, are you? No. Well, I mean, it's a pretty dizzying division, isn't it? What with Constitution Hill and Honeysuckle. We will be talking about both of them, comparing their Cheltenham Festival runs later on in the season. But those are the kind of horses that the likes of Pied Piper and maybe Nappers Hill, that's fluid, will be facing towards the end of the season. Let's have a look at the Champion Hurdle betting. Constitution Hill's favourite at the moment, 5-4 ahead of Honeysuckle at 7-2. Vauban is 8-1. Where did you say he might be coming back?
Possibly Punchestown. He's not entered in the fishery then, so I would have thought Punchestown would be the next race.
And as for State Man and Sir Gerhard, we'll come on to that little conundrum later on in the show. Right, before Paul leaves us, let's run through some of his horses who have been winning left, right and centre at the moment. He's so dominant. Let's start with Grenadine in the Howden Gold Cup, Paul. This was a super performance. You said you had him wound up and readier this time around than 12 months earlier.
Yeah, and look, if we were going for this race off top weight, we weren't going to go there just for a jolly round. Last year, I'd had problems and he needed this en route to the Tingle Creek. He just, for whatever reason, and I can't explain why, Lydia, he's just been a different class horse this year in his work, everything he's done, and we knew he was better. And he performed like it. He's now rated, I think, 171 or something like that. It's a hell of a mark, and he's come out of the race so well the other day that, you know, it just keeps improving.
Tingle Creek next,
it's
I take
performance.
It.
Good. Yeah, straight there. He won't run before, obviously. He's going to be tuned up for that. And Sandown, of course, a track he loves. And, you know, there'll be some good, you know, obviously better horses in that race. But, you know, he's not going to be giving lumps away to weight like he was at Exeter. So to win that with him was fantastic and just showed what we'd seen at home, to be honest with you.
Were you impressed, Ruby?
I was. His jumping is incredible. I thought it was electric at Exeter. And that's probably why Sandown suits him.
the jumping at Sandown, Paul. That's probably why Sandown suits him.
It doesn't. You know, in his early days, he used to be very keen and needed a fast run race just to settle him early on and then picking the race. But I was always said to Ruby, to Harry last year, he would be your super horse to make the running with, because now he's relaxed. All he does is jump and gallop. The best place to be with him is in front. So if you don't get a fast run race in any of those races, you just let him bowl along and use your jumping and galloping, and he stays every bit of the trip. So, yeah, he's going to be exciting over the next few months.
Let's talk about some of your novice chasers. We've got Stage Star, who began at Warwick in a race that looked on paper like it was going to be deep, but because of the other's antics and his focus, in the end, he was very dominant.
He was, yeah. Actually, I've just scored all those novice chasers this morning. Mon Moral, him, Jelena Bello, Cohen, they've all jumped super. I was concerned really going into this because he'd had a wind up. He'd missed a month. He was a little bit behind the others fitness-wise. And he jumped okay at home. He hadn't been spectacular. So until they're out there, you don't know. But on the track, he was superb. And you could see the difference in him this morning. He's now, you know, a lot more confident. And, yeah, it was an exciting first run.
And where does he go now?
He'll go to Newbury. As long as the ground's okay, he'll run in the 2.5 mile graded race at Newbury in 2 weeks' time.
And then there was Jelena Bello at Wetherby, and that race developed into a match because one of the rivals whipped round at the start. So it was a bit of a school round in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was difficult. He's not like a forward-going horse you necessarily want to make the running with, especially first time over fences. So it was a sprint from the back of the last. He had a nice run round, proved his fitness and education. He jumped super this morning, and he'll go to Newbury as well for the 3 mile novice chase.
Well, you said a lot of them, your horses you mentioned there about Grenatine and a few of the others being different horses this year. Obviously, Mon Moral is in at the weekend. Mm. Is he a different horse to the one we saw last year? Is he back to the horse he was as a four-year-old?
Do you know, he didn't run too bad last year, Ruby. You know, it's a tough year as a four-year-old. And so I think horses improved so much from four to five. And I think last year he had an injury in the fighting fifth, which actually was a blessing in disguise. He didn't do too much with him. I've never that hard on him. Waiting for this time. For example, he's never done any threes up our hill before this season. He now will just cruise up over that hill three times. So he's a much stronger, more mature horse and gets stuck into him. So I think there's lots to come from him.
You're excited about him, I bet you.
Yeah, it just, you know, funny thing is, he'll have to go and jump well. He's good at it, but he's typical French in that he's quick and he's low, and he just needs to be jumping off his hocks a bit more than he does. That first run over fences on Saturday will be very important to him. But Harry knows what he's at. If he jumps well, he'll run very well.
And how is McFabulous after he was pulled up at Wincanton the other day?
Yeah, he won. He scored this morning. Basically, the ground was quite slippery. It was the first chase on Saturday, and he was slipping and sliding, and he landed and slipped, and split second decision, Harry pulled him up. He went straight back in, and I think said to the stewards or the guys that, you know, you need to do something on the takeoff and landing of the fences. That's why they put some gravel just down to help the horses for the next race. So he was fine, schooled this morning, goes to Exeter on Monday.
So you didn't feel that he was put off by that experience at all? The schooling was good?
Yeah, no, he jumped. He jumped really well the other day, actually, and he just slipped on landing, and he jumped super this morning. So no worries whatsoever. And actually, Exeter is a super trap for novice chasers, so it might be a blessing in disguise in a lot of ways. So he can go to Exeter for some experience on Monday.
Does that mean he might be taking on John Bon, or are they different races?
No, he's going to Warwick.
Ah, John Bon's going to Warwick, is he?
Yeah.
Ah,
Nick is obviously running scared of McFabulous, who's going to Warwick. So,
I was waiting for the first sledge. I was waiting for it, Paul. You have delivered.
No, there's not really any other ideal race for us to go there, bar Exeter. So if we can go there and we can build on that afterwards. The most important thing, he's more important than the other, he needs to get a clear round and get some confidence, and then he'll build on that.
Okay, final thing. Is the one horse that's already run this season that we have missed that we should have been talking about with you here?
Look, we got lots of super novice hurdlers that have been winning really, really well. Also, I really liked and was impressed with the other day at Chepstow. There was a horse called Tamaris, owned by Noel Feely Racing Club and his guys. He was very impressive on his first start, made all the running and quickened from the back of the last like a very smart horse. I was quite surprised, actually, because he won his bumper lash and we thought he was quite slow. Might need a trip, but he was electric over his hurdles, and as I said, quick and well. He's a very nice horse.
Okay. Well, Paul, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your thoughts. That is Paul Nicholls, everybody. And we are going to celebrate Paul and Ruby's association now with our sponsors, Paddy Power. We're going to look back at the 2012 Paddy Power Gold Cup won by Elfaroff.
I was cantering at the top of the hill. It was really in front of the top of the hill, but I was doing a half speed, slowing him down. And jumped the second last well, pinged the last and got to the line to beat walk-on, so that's my favourite memory of it anyway, PK.
From in second, walk-on, back in third is Nadia De La Vega. Can Paul Nicholls win the Paddy Power Gold Cup? Alfarov is two lengths to the good over walk-on in second place. They've kicked clear of the others, and Alfarov, driven to the line by Ruby Walsh in the colours of John Hales, gives Paul Nicholls his first Paddy Power Gold Cup.
If you want to see more, head to Paddy Power's YouTube. Those were the days, eh?
I thought they were in black and white. It's that long ago.
Can you remember them?
Just about.
We asked you a question via our social media polls, and this was, who is the best juvenile hurdler we've seen so far this season? The options were 1, Zarek the Brave, 2, Cougar, 3, McTeague, or another horse. Zarek the Brave, obviously the winner for Willie Mullins the other day. This was him.
Yeah, and a strongly run race. He ended up dropping right back through the field at halfway. Lydia, see how far back he is. No, he's numerically quite a way back. He needs to brush up on his jumping, but as a turn of foot, he shows from the top, well, top of the straight here. Swoops down, flies the second last, and it's all over. Yeah, decent performance. I'm sure he'll run into better juveniles as he goes forward. Cougar was good in Down Royal, very, very, very keen, and still won really well by Deep Impact, ex Aidan O'Brien horse. And McTighe is a former Jim Bulger inmate who won a good pot in France for Emmett Mullins and Paul Byrne, and I think could be back in France this weekend.
Is he?
I think so.
Yeah, he was very impressive, I thought, second time round at Auteuil. I know it's early in the season, but these three look a pretty good standard of juveniles to be seeing this early.
They most certainly do, yeah, and be interesting to see where they go. Will Zarek the Brave go to the Hatton's Grace meeting at Ferry House, or will they all head straight to Leopardstown at Christmas?
Who would you have voted for?
Who would I have voted for? Probably wouldn't have voted for Marine Nationale anyway, whoever that was.
Yeah, we asked for others, and the one suggested by others wasn't a juvenile. Must do better. Read the question, make sure you understand it, and only then answer it. Let's have a look at the results of the poll, shall we? Overwhelmingly, they like Zarek the Brave.
Recency bias?
Could be, couldn't it? Could be. I liked all three of them. I think they're pretty good standard for this time of year. We're going to be learning a bit more at Cheltenham on Saturday from this race here, the Triumph Hurdle Trial. Here are the declarations. I have to confess that I don't know a great deal about this. This is a division that you really have to sort of throw yourself into and immerse yourself in the early months, and then everything changes every month as a new horse comes from left field.
This is a division that's you're best off not paying attention to.
I've got bad news for you. It's our job. You know this series we do? We're going to be talking juveniles. We're going to be talking juveniles. I mean,
no,
you know. Yeah, we are.
No,
we are. You don't have a view on that. You will be excited about our next section. Our next section is the Emerging Novice Chasers, the best division there is in horse racing, in my view. So we're going to go thick, quick and fast here. Mighty Potter's Chase debut winner, Dan Royal.
Yeah, it was okay, Lydia. He jumped better as he went on. Big soft fences in Down Royal. When he was good, he was good. When he was not so good, he was pretty awkward. Looking at what was the third last, which is his first and third last on both occasions, quite soft, so he gets away with it. I thought he was quite wayward from here home.
He hated he's, leading, didn't he?
Yeah, but even he's galloping to the line. There's a running rail over there. His head's one side, his hind end's another side. Didn't blow me away. I think he has to step forward big time.
Okay, I think he does need to concentrate. He either needs a lead or something to help him concentrate. Let's have a look at Banbridge winning at Goran. I think you and I were more impressed by this.
I was, definitely. Loved his technique. Last year's Martin Pipe winner. Brilliant there at the middle fence in the back straight. But I'm even more impressed at him at the second last. He's long, but at the last. Watch when he gets in close here. The power he has. That's the second last, sorry. When he gets in close to the last fence, just watch the power he has and how far he landed out. I was really impressed with Banbridge.
I like the fact that he was jumping and there was horses upside him as well, and he was not put off at all. Thought it was a polished performance for a novice.
I love the power he had. He looked to be... I'd like him.
OK. We're going to learn more on Saturday at Cheltenham. We have got
Listen
the...
Arkle- Paul Merlitt puts into Paul Nichols. Harry Coblin's going to learn a fair bit too.
As I was saying, we're going to have a look at the Arkle trial. There we are. And as you say, there is Monmirail. Pentland Hills has had a walkover.
He was good, though.
He was good when he returned on the flat at Haydock. That was right up to his previous performance. And after 972 days, was it off? That wasn't bad at all. So
I like Tommy's Oscar Carlisle.
I was really impressed by this run.
Yeah, so was I. I liked him in Carlisle. Middling race, only two runners. I thought Brian Hughes was very canny on the runner-up. Geronimine jumps out to his left, but quickens up. Brian Hughes gets back across in front of Tommy's Oscar here. And you know that he's going to go left again, but Tommy's Oscar comes down his outside and he eventually carries him considerably across the track into a sprint, but for a horse first time up against someone with loads of experience, I thought Tommy's Oscar was really good. He's a horse that improved through the ranks last year as a hurdler, good jump at the last again, and has to come the long way around to win. I think I was impressed with him. I liked him.
Yeah, it was tenacious, wasn't it? You have to bear in mind that Geromino, they've named that just to trip everybody up, haven't they? He's won five times over fences. He had 10 previous chase starts. He had the run of the race. You know, Tommy's Oscar making his debut. There's loads I liked about that.
I liked it.
I just wonder about the track at Cheltenham, whether that's going to be entirely his bag. I know it was the champion hurdle that he ran in.
What's up? Carlisle is undulate.
And I know, but when you move up in the grades, these kind of factors mean more, don't they?
Do they?
I think so. You know that they do.
I don't know.
It's going to be like this. It's going to be like this all season, isn't it? It's just going to be like this all season. Just accept it. Just embrace it, Lydia. Embrace it. We heard from Paul about Giulino Bello and Stage Star. Let's hear from you about them. We'll start with Giulino Bello's ridiculous schooling match at Wetherby.
That's what it was. It turned into a sprint. You had to start the Alan Kinghorse whips around an unseized jockey, but the race has started. So, unfortunately, he can't get back on. He's out. Bit of a signal if you backed him, but that's life, I'm afraid. So yeah, they walk around, it turns into a complete sprint down the straight. He went right all the way. That was the seventh fence when he started going right, and then he went right from there on, bar, I think, the last fence is the only one when he's going as pretty much as fast as Harry Cobden makes him go. He was straighter, and he eventually gets up really close home to win. Sure, Harry was delighted he got there. What did he learn? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where he goes from here, but he did show a tendency to go right.
He did indeed. And how about Stage Star? As I was saying to Paul, on paper, that looked like it was going to be a deep little novice event. But in the end, due to the antics of the others and him, how good he was, it was actually one-sided.
Yeah, it was. Look, there you had the horse breaking the ditch, which
Skytastic.
Was Skytastic, yeah. West Cork went a little to his right. It was a bit
a
wild.
Little.
So a bit. Well, he went right. Grant, he goes right, Lydia. But I'm not sure how brave Stage Star was. Interesting listening to Paul that he felt he's jumping better now since this run. I thought he was quite careful. If there was a half a stride to take to get in close, Stage Star took it. Paul said he got confidence from winning and he's been better schooling since.
OK, so you were less thrilled by the performance of Stage Star.
How about he was safe.
Safe, yeah. OK. That is relevant, particularly if you're looking to make a mark over the shorter distances. Unless you're going to learn to have a cut, then you're going to be up against it, aren't you? How about Time Hill? At least he'll be running over a trip, you would anticipate. Three times placed in the frame at the Cheltenham Festival. Second in the Stayers Hurdle last season and now has made his chase debut at Exeter.
Yeah, that was his one mistake where he launched at the fifth last, I think it was. Got himself to the front then with a good jump. Three out, McFablis beside him. Got in deep underneath that fence, but was quite clean again at the second last and rocked to the last and jumped it well. I think he was entitled to win. And he's gone and done it. I was happy with him. Didn't think you were.
No, I was. I thought he did the absolute minimum that he would be expected to do against that kind of opposition. And again, I thought he was a bit careful at times as well. And yeah, I don't know. I would like to see him build from that point. I suppose I'm always worried when horses go late, relatively late in the span of their career to chasing for the first time. That
which could be said for McFabulous too.
Yes, well, you could say the same for McFabulous. And I put up similar concerns about McFabulous. I think probably Time Hill might be braver than McFabulous though. So
Time will tell.
It will. You mentioned the Carlisle Intermediate Chase, the Colin Parker, the one in which Millers Bank was second. Beauport won it. Bear Gills was third. You liked the two run, the run particularly of Bear Gills.
I did. Look, he makes a mistake early in the race and does well to stand up. James Bourne stays on him, but when he made that mistake, went to the next leg, it hadn't happened. That's a good sign. It didn't scare him, make him in any way careful or cowardly. And I think he was entitled to get tired after the layoff he's had, especially with a mistake like that. That was a really good run. Mm. And the fact that they're having to run against Millers Bank and even the Horse O'Donnell down the inside, Manila Drama with so much experience, Beauport and Bear Grylls, first time over fences, in against experienced horses like that, you'd have to mark up both their performances. I thought Beauport kept at it really well, jumped really, really well. But I was disappointed. And I was happy with Bear Grylls, I think would improve a lot.
Well, the potential he showed in the Ballymore two seasons ago was quite huge.
But do horses with that length of time off ever get back to that level, let alone improve on it?
Yeah, that will be the question with him. How about Chemical Energy? What did you make of his win in a three-horse race at Cheltenham in October?
I was more impressed with the ride. Davy Russell went from the inside, the outside. Mm-hmm. And if you look between the six and seven fences, just look at the kickback that Chemical Energy's kicking up, and then look at the kickback for the other two horses on the inside. I think he raced on a different track, and that's why he got such a wide margin victory.
OK, so he, I think Gordon Elliott says, goes straight to the National Hunt Chase from there. It worked with Galvin, it didn't work with Run Wild Fred. That's the plan to keep him away from Deep Winter Ground.
Yeah, Run Wild Fred had won the Tri-Town, though, mm-hmm. which is a huge step mm-hmm. up on what Chemical Energy did in Cheltenham.
True. Gaillard de Menil as well is a potential one for the National Hunt Chase, isn't he?
He qualifies, but hasn't managed to win a race yet, so maybe he
will
eventually.
That's why he qualifies.
Yeah, it's true.
What did you make then of McFabulous's run at Wincanton? It was interesting to hear Paul saying about the slipping.
Yeah, and obviously Harry pulled him up. He was grand at the first four cheap pieces. Jumped second a bit high if you were being looking to somewhere to criticise and jumps here. Now, I did, and I can see why Harry pulled him up. He gets disunited, and he did look to me like there was something wrong with him. But by the time he's stopping on him, you're thinking, oh, he's sound, actually. But when you're watching it live, it did look like something I got wrong. I thought the winner was tough.
Hang in there.
Hang in there, battled well for Tom Bellamy. I think he had to step forward in that, but it was a good first run from him. He looks like a stout stare.
He does. I think sounder surfaces are going to be the key with him for MLFL. Let's talk about Goshen. He made his chase debut at Ascot and sadly he made no impact at all.
Made no impact at all, completely blew out. Gorston's a real head scratcher, isn't he? Look, talented horse on his day, but he's a complete head scratcher.
I'll go back to the flat personally. Gal Road won the race. Samarive, though, shaped pretty well until coming down two out.
Did, and Gal Road is a good yardstick, improved all through last season and improved a lot from his first run in Perth over fences. So, good yardstick, Gowell Road. So Samarive is definitely worth keeping an eye on.
OK, now we're going to run through the various horses that are likely to be going novice chasing this season and see what we think of them. We're going to start with a few of Willie Mullins's. Now, Willie has been saying that he was in two minds right up until now, as far as I know, between Sir Gerhard and State Man about whether to stick hurdling or go novice chasing. What's the latest stop press news?
Well, I didn't read that he had changed his mind, but I would be surprised if State Man doesn't stay over hurdles. As for Sir Gerhard, he has schooled and Willie is still contemplating it. Look, this Sir Gerhard, you'd have no problem with going jumping fences. This is his first run over hurdles, knows exactly what he's doing, up in front, not overly high behind. But the Sir Gerhard we saw at Leopardstown in his second start, not so good. Watch the horse behind him, Three Stripe Life. He's going chasing, possibly this weekend. He's a brilliant jumper. The Sir Gerhard that we saw in Leopardstown and Cheltenham at Christmas and at the festival, you'd definitely go chasing with the other Sir Gerhard, I'm not so sure.
How about Stateman's form with Flame Bearer, who's now joined Willie Mullins' Three Stripe Life as well, who, as you mentioned, might run at Nace on Saturday.
These are all going chasing. Kilcrut in front, Flame Bearer, Three Stripe Life, and Stateman probably won't. But Flame Bearer in the red, he gets high enough in front. He's a strong travelling horse. He comes from Pat Doyle's. He should be OK. If you watch the second and third, Flame Bearer, Three Stripe Life, to Kilcrut in front, they're both way braver than Kilcrut. They're faster through the air. Kilcrut, if he gets in any doubt, takes an extra half a stride, whereas Flame Bearer and Three Stripe Life just get airborne.
Flame Bearer is quite keen, isn't he? Fences are going to have to calm him down.
Just fall over and let him off.
And how about Three Stripe Life? I really like him as a potential chaser.
Could be a staying novice chaser. I like them looking back at those for specific instances. Will they jump a fence? Won't they? You'd love the height he gets.
Journey with Me would be another one. I know he tipped up at the end of the Ballymore, but he looked like he was built for
only got tired,
fence as
didn't
well.
He?
Yeah. Supreme. Let's talk about the Supreme. We've got John Bon and Dysart Dynamo, both of whom are going novice chasing this season. What do you think of the way they make a shape?
Yeah, two good jumpers, but I prefer John Bon style. Look at their hind end, actually. Watch how much higher Dysart Dynamo gets, or how high up his goes compared to John Bon's. John Bon keeps his back end really low to the ground. He gets the height in front, his hind end stays down, so he's all the time through the air. I'd love him as a two-miler compared to Dysart Dynamo, who's getting a bit higher behind. It's an arch. People say it's beautiful to look at. It is, but it takes time. I mean, you're wasting time arching.
I've got a question from Tommy Kennedy, who says, can we discuss where Dysart Dynamo would have finished in the Supreme if he'd stood up? I think he's Willie's number one for the Arkell. Where would he have finished if he'd stood up?
Third at best.
So keen, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think third at best. Who knows how much he would have folded. He was disappointed in the Punchestown after that.
Okay, John Bon and El Fabiolo. We can have a look at their tussle at Aintree. This is mainly to have a look at the runner-up El Fabiolo. He goes novice chasing two.
Yeah, he does, and he's a sharp horse. We're a hood here. He got interfered at the third last hurdle. He's again low. See, even there he missed that hurdle. His hind end landed first. He keeps his hind end low, but he's brave as well. And they, to me, are two-milers, John Bon and Fabiolo. I love the way they jump. And listening to Paul Nicholls talking about Montmorel being low French. Two-milers tend to jump that way.
Was El Fabiolo ever going to get past John Bon? He wasn't, was he? John Bon just had his measure all the way.
And Fabiolo did lose four or five with the unseat at the third last hurdle, which definitely inconvenienced him.
Appreciate it. There's so many Willie Mullins novice chasers. Appreciate it. The winner of the Supreme Novices two seasons ago, who ran a year later in the Champion Hurdle.
Yeah, but see when he gets in really close there, he does back off and he's a bit deliberate, gets high. Same here, this fence, it's height. He might want to go a bit further. He does spend a little bit more time in the air and he might need to step up a distance to counteract that. Nobody could have foreseen Gallop and Deschamps this time last year getting quicker for jumping fences, but fences did make him quicker. And you'd have to looking at appreciate it. Ooh, could fences make him a little slower? Might he have to go out and trip just with the height he gets?
Now, you were a fan of the juvenile Phil Dore last season. Gornelli has been talking about sending him novice chasing, albeit he's starting over hurdles. He was entered in the WKD hurdle and now he's in the Fishery Lane. What do you think about him as a novice chasing prospect?
Could be. Get a huge allowance. Obviously, they did it last year with Zanna here, but she was a filly and she also got the mare 7, which made it really worthwhile. So if they do go novice chasing, they're keeping their options open running the Fishery Lane, because if there is a couple of stars appear, they might hang on to him for another year. He can only be a novice for one season once he goes and wins. So wait till we see him running before I believe he is.
So Phil Dore faces 4 in the Fishery Lanes. The primary ones would be Prairie Dancer, Brazil and Luna Power. So it's quite a competitive little event. Right, to wrap up the novice chasers, the horse you've been most impressed with that you've seen in action so far?
John Bon.
What?
Well, they've paid out in them, so someone must have seen something.
Oh, yes, they have, haven't they? Yeah. OK, Pepe. Now, to wrap up our first show, we're going to be looking ahead to a really good weekend of action. I mean, there's loads going on absolutely everywhere, isn't there?
Oh, Saturday, Sunday, it's incredible. And even tomorrow's a decent-ish card at Cheltenham, but yeah, cracking racing.
Let's work backwards, shall we? We can start with the Liss Mullen, Flooring Porter taking on Bob Ollinger. We've also got Cider Burley and Tihupu and Zanahir there for Gordon Elliott, not to mention Commander of Fleet and Delta Work. Let's start with Flooring Porter, though, the dual stayers hurdle winner, who tipped up in this race last year.
Yeah, he did. After going at a steady enough pace, Danny Mullins made a running on him, just let fly, caught the top bar, turned over, but showed no ill effects of that. Got left at the start in Leopardstown. Well, not left at the start. Classical Dream got a flyer on him at Leopardstown. Vice versa at Cheltenham. Danny, again, was brilliant on him at the back of the last. He wants to head out in another circle as if two weren't enough. But, you know, he's a very, very good horse. And he sets the standard in this division.
Definitely.
Jewels there as well.
Definitely, definitely. And we can't see Flooring Porter without the scenes in the winner's enclosure. There we are. It's just fantastic. I mean, I just love that. Being there for that was just brilliant. Right, so they've got a serious opponent potentially here in Bob Olinger. You and I were never really convinced with the way that he took defences last season. And in the Turners, although he ends up with his name as the winner, he wouldn't have been.
No, he wouldn't. And look, you have to get lucky in life too. But look, there you are. A couple of mistakes like that. He just never, to me, showed the same gusto of offences that he did over hurdles. He was quite keen as a hurdler. So he'll have to settle at this trip if he is the same horse. You know, obviously gallops by galloping the champ on the ground, but like even when he won the Ballymore, he was keen. His jumping is fine, it's not spectacular, but at least he was going forward and wanted to be in that race. Whereas you watched him in his chases and he was behind the bridle, Rachel Blackmore, Dara O'Keefe, nobody ever had any trouble holding him. I'd like to see him keen on Sunday, So the life and spark is there.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a grade one engine. That was so obvious as a novice. Let's just hope it was the fences that weren't his thang. The Gordon Elliott horses are quite interesting. The two that are graduating into this staying trip more, particularly Zanahir and Tihupu.
Could be. Coming of age as well. 5 rising, 6. Life should be a bit easier for them. Gordon's horses are in great form, but Bolt would have to improve.
Let's have a look at the betting, shall we, for the Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle. I know this is a long way ahead, but it's the only betting available to us at this point. 7-2, Flooring Porter, the dual champion. Blazing Cal, who missed the second half of the season after 2 wins at Cheltenham for Charles Burns. He is 7-1. Bob Olinger is in there at 8-1 already. And Classical Dream, who might be going chasing?
Could do. Buzz, I don't know how he is. Treepside Life is going chasing. Champ is just in and out. Maria's Rock will probably run in the mares. Prashima bolted in at Wetherby. 7-2 could be a massive price.
OK, let's have a look at the Schlur Chase, because that is at Cheltenham this Sunday. Nubi Negra, who won the race last year, is there up against the ARC winner of last season, Edward Stone, and some others as well. Editor Ajit, notably, to provide some pace to the race. Nubi Negra was very good in the Schlur last year.
He was very good. Dropped in at the very back of the field, which I expect Harry Skelton will do again this week. Obviously put the kettle on and Politologue,
yes.
Went forward on this occasion. Similar thing will happen on Sunday. Harry will drop in and follow Edward Stone, who lined up on the pace in last year's Darkly, but then ultimately sat just behind it. You know, Tom Cannon lined him up on the front end, but as the race develops, he slots into third or fourth. Harry Skelton will be behind him on Sunday, and Tom will have to find his own way. He'll be hoping Size and Potsy and Editor to Geet run and to go a really strong gallop, because that will suit Edward Stone.
Alan King is saying that this run against Nubi Negra et al. In the Schlur will help him decide whether to stick to 2 miles this season or go up in trip. What would you do?
I would do exactly what Alan King is doing. Let the horse tell me after it runs in the race. Same as Paul Nicholls said about Napper's Hill earlier. You got to find your way and you listen to the horses. There's no point in making plans and then they run the race, you're thinking, what did they make that plan for?
He's relatively lightly raced. I suppose there's still some improvement in him.
Edward Stone?
Yeah,
he is, but he's 8, isn't he?
He is 8.
Rising 9.
Yes.
Physically can't even prove.
Yep.
I'm not so sure.
So we're going to learn plenty about the 2 mile chasing division this weekend, because not only are Nubi Negra and Edward Stone running, but Fernie Hollow and Gentleman to Me too.
Yeah, Fernie Hollow in the 4-3, a Gentleman to Me in the popular square. Look, Fernie Hollow, we only saw him twice last year, once the year before. He's obviously quite fragile. He was good in his second start. Fence away from the stands, nose house is short, and that's what Riviere to Tell breathing down his neck. And he's good and brave in the back straight. But look, he has to stay sound, did he? He's going to get to line up in the 4-3. Is he for somebody to back anti-post? I'd say every day is a bonus with Fernie Hollow myself.
Although he was clearly regarded as your best novice, Willie Mullins' best novice, you are assistant, but Willie Mullins' best novice last season, wasn't he?
By who?
But collectively, it was just the way in which the horse was campaigned, everything else fitted around him.
Yeah, he ran the 2 mile of Christmas. Look, we had Blue Lord and a few others, but he was the paciest one, so yeah, he probably was at that division. But a good horse is a sound horse.
I hear you. Gentleman de May. He downed Edwardstone at the end of the season at Aintree.
Yeah, and headed to Aintree, didn't go to Cheltenham. And he's a front runner as well, runs in the popular square where he faces Cur Sublime. It's a stepping stone to the Tingle Creek for him. So, you know, he's a decent horse. It was a good performance to beat Edwardstone last year. Now, it was the end of a long year for Edwardstone. Gentleman to Me was quite professional, likes to race in the front end. Mark Walsh gave him a good ride at Aintree, missed the second last. But ultimately, for a front runner, he knuckled down then and battled and got away from Edwardstone.
Where does Blue Lord fit in amongst all of this?
I think he wants a bit further. I think there's a debate about that one, though.
OK. Oh, well, no doubt we'll be having that debate during the course of this series. Thank you very much for your company for this first episode. Thank you very much for yours as well. If you want to know more, you can go to racingtv.com/roadtocheltenham. You can pick up my columns. You can pick up a replay of this show and all the shows in the season. But make sure you tune in this time next week. We will see you then.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.